This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 17, I catch up with Cara Fian-Ryan, Australian 3,000-metre steeplechaser, directly from Paris for the 2024 Olympic Games. With Cara's third appearance on this very podcast, this conversation was obviously and specifically about her debut Olympic experience as we discuss her training and selection leading in, the general Olympic vibe, and her preparation for the event itself, and what she's looking forward to at the Games in general. I hope you enjoy this very special listen. Welcome up for the third time, Cara Fian-Ryan, to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be back.
So good to have you here. It's a special moment for you. You're over in Paris as we speak for the 2024 Olympic Games. The 3,000 metre steeplechase on the horizon, 8 days away from as we speak. Let's just wind the clock back a little bit, Cara. Like this must be an amazing thing for you, a special moment to be picked in this Australian team.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I've made sort of the last 2 years of world champs, but the Olympic year is something completely different. Like, it is the pinnacle of what we work towards in athletics, but you only get one shot at it. So it's definitely been on the horizon for a while. And there was moments where it felt like a bit out of reach, but it's good to be here and be in the team and, yeah, to have sort of got that selection and, yeah, it's a dream come true.
Fantastic. So was this something like a couple of years ago you thought was possible? Of only recent times did you think, hey, I'm a bit of a shot here, because, you know, 4 years ago you're probably out of the picture. You're fairly young still at the moment. We would have been about 20 in the last Olympics, right?
Yeah, well, it's been a short turnaround because Tokyo was postponed. So it was 2021. Tokyo actually happened, and correct. I was 22 at the time. And the year before that, wouldn't have thought I had a shot at all based on like my PBs at the time. And then I got really close in Tokyo and I went, okay, like I've probably got a chance here, but you know, the standard even since then has risen quite a lot. So for Tokyo, the auto standard was 9:30, and I have run under that now. I ran 9:29 as my personal best. But the standard now for this year is 9:23. So it's like in 3 years, it's jumped up quite a lot. So it's, been an interesting ride and just trying to like, obviously improve myself as well, but then also try and make these teams. And yeah, it's definitely been exciting, but stressful at the same time. But yeah, I think probably like 3-4 years ago was when I sort of started believing that it was possible. But until you get that call that you're on the team, you don't you don't take it for granted.
Yeah, that is crazy. And we would have spoken almost 2 years ago for the first time. And to think, I always knew you were sort of up and coming, but to think a couple of years ago that we'd be here having a chat a few years later is just awesome. But take us back to the moment when you actually were selected on the team. Like, had someone specific from Athletics Australia or somewhere else gave you a call in some description, and what did they exactly say?
Yeah, so for athletics, just for context, we work off like the World Athletics sort of ranking system, which got updated for the final time on like Tuesday, the 2nd of July, I believe, after the qualifying period closed a few days earlier. So based on like when that list sort of got publicized, and like anyone can look at it, like it's public, I knew I was in the quota of top 36 in the world. But then you wait another 2 days, and on July 4th, Australia officially does its sort of selection after their big meeting. And yeah, I was in Spain at the time. I'd just woken up and sort of come downstairs to have breakfast, and got a phone call from one of the AA staff members, and they just say sort of very simply, like, "We're very excited to let you know that we've accepted your nomination to compete in the 3,000 meter steeplechase. Like, congratulations on becoming an Olympian," kind of thing. And yeah, it's definitely like, I mean, I can't even remember the exact words, because I think I just like felt really like almost goosebumpy, like, you know, that feeling of just, oh my goodness, just so excited and relieved, and just, yeah, it means the world.
I'm just so excited as you're talking there too for the world to be back to normal. Like, as you mentioned before, that Olympics, the last one, Tokyo, pushed back a year, even still a bit of a weird vibe. COVID came back there for a bit in 21, didn't it, as well? So it must be exciting for just life to be back to normal in general, but also you're on the Olympic team. So it must be a really exciting and I don't know, it's sort of enthusiastic time for you at the moment.
Definitely. I've spoken to a lot of athletes who did find Tokyo quite challenging. A lot of people's, you know, if it was their first team, they said it was not the best experience, that it was pretty hard. So I think everyone's just even more excited for this year, just because it is back to normal, and you know, we all have family and friends, and yeah, there's definitely a lot of excitement around that.
And speaking of normal, just talk to us about the last 24 or so hours. The opening ceremony has happened just what, 12 hours ago, more. And you've been there in Paris for a little bit now. How's the experience been thus far?
So I'm actually in Montpellier, just like a couple hours south of Paris. This is where the Australia team are doing their holding camp. So it's been a busy couple of days, because I arrived here on Wednesday, and Wednesday night we did this lovely sort of like team welcome and presentation of like the opening ceremony uniform. So we're lucky enough to have like all of our kit here as well. And that meant that, yeah, last night we all got dressed up in our opening ceremony gear at like 7:30 at night, so after dinner, and we went down onto the athletics track, which is like right next to where we're staying, and did a little lap around and had the Australian flag, bit of Australian music going. I Come From a Land Down Under was definitely playing. And yeah, so we all just like hyped each other up, and just like lots of smiles and fist bumps. And I think there was a reporter from Channel 9 News here as well, and did the Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. And then yeah, like just kind of embraced the moment, and tried to make it a bit special, as much as we could. So yeah, it's exciting.
Excellent. And how's the feel been so far in the village, like the bedding arrangements, all that kind of logistic stuff? Are you there for the next sort of week before the event? How's that going to work, Cara?
Yeah, so I'm here in Montpellier till Monday, and then I travel to Paris. And to be honest, it'll be pretty similar living structure. Like, you share a room with one other athlete, and then you're in an apartment with another, like, sort of two or four people in another room, and you just like share a bathroom. So definitely, used to it at this point. You know, it's nice to have the company. Though you do always enjoy your quiet moments to yourself as well. Obviously, coming from home where you have your own room and your own space, it's always funny being adults and sharing so closely together. But I guess that's what makes sport so unique and so special. And yeah, it's definitely different, but you get used to it.
Awesome. Hey, before we get to your sort of lead in before the Olympics, just tell us about a family. Any family over there with you at the moment, or are you sort of solo?
Not at the moment, which was definitely interesting. So I've been away from home now for 6 weeks. So this is my sort of longest stint away. And so I got my selection and everything happened while I was over here. So I had sort of teammates that to celebrate with, but officially, I haven't celebrated with my family. My coach did come over this week to France. So it's been nice to sort of see him, see a friendly face, and then my mum and a few other family are coming to Paris, but they'll get there a couple of days before I race, so still about a week away from seeing them.
Awesome. So, this qualifying time or times that you'd run, when was that exactly? And is the period what, 2 years or a year and a half? Is it long?
So it started August last year, so it was like an 11-month qualifying window. And just because of the timing of the Olympics this year was slightly earlier than when the World Champs was last year. So you get that 11 months to either run the time or to accrue qualifying points. So it's like an average of three races that you run. They sort of total that together and give you a score. And you just get ranked in a list. So the qualifying standard was 9 minutes 23, which I didn't run, but my big three races were I did two Diamond Leagues back in April in China. So I ran 9:32 and 9:31. And then in end of May, sorry, end of May, I ran the Oceania Championships over in Fiji. So they were kind of my three top scores, and then from that I was ranked, I think, 32nd by the end of the qualifying period. So yeah, it was a scary wait. Sort of the last couple of weeks, everyone in Europe runs their national championships, so they get a lot of opportunity right at the end to score points. So you kind of have to wait and cross your fingers that no one has any surprise performances.
Let's get to training then, because you talk about this 11-month sort of time frame. Was it about a year ago where you sort of started to really think seriously about making the Olympics, or even earlier? Was it 2 or even 3 years? Like, how has that build resulted and culminated in you being there right now? Has anything changed in the last year with training? Is it just literally consistency, age, experience?
Yeah, I think I did change a few things last year. So 2022, I made world champs in Eugene, and it was kind of just an achievement to get there. And I did have a pretty good performance. I didn't run a personal best, but it was sort of within a pretty close window of my personal best, I think like 1 or 2% to get technical. And then from there, I sort of obviously saw the standard that I need to rise to, and came back to Australia and had a good break, which was nice. I think probably something I've learned from these seasons is to actually have a really solid break after a championship and take some time off running. Enjoy some social things that maybe you sacrificed during season and get back into it slowly. And sort of start of last year, 2023, I started training with the Gregsons, so Jen
Oh,
Gregson
yes,
and
yep.
Ryan and that crew in Brisbane. So that was a really good change, and just to be around Jen and to learn from her and start to do some sort of higher volume training as well. I definitely have stepped up sort of my fitness level that way and challenged myself. So last year that kind of was rewarded with running my personal best at the World Championships, and I also ran in the World University Games and won a gold medal there. My time wasn't so good, but it was a very, very hot, humid day in China at the time, so it was just more about racing the race. So yeah, last season was really positive, and sort of similarly, again this year, I've stepped it up by going on a couple of training camps down to Falls Creek in January for 3 weeks, and then I've just spent 6 weeks in altitude at Hoyos, so bringing the altitude in now too, so hopefully that levels up again.
Yeah,
Just adding
great.
things
Yeah,
really.
there's so much in there. So much in there has led to this, as you talk about it. But if we look at that training with Jen and Ryan and anyone else in that? Because it's quite a small group, isn't it? Like, what does the session actually look like? Is there some kind of pacing from Jen or Ryan or somebody else? You know, a lot of runners, Olympic runners too, in middle distance, are training with a, or can be training with a quite a large group. So, yeah, what does a session look like? And what sort of, has there been any markers within those sessions too that have made you think, oh, I'm getting super fit here as I lean in towards the Olympics?
Yeah, definitely. So there's only about five of us in the group. So it's Jen, Ryan, Jack Bruce, Liam Bowden, Callum Davies, Jude Thomas, and I think Tim as well jumps in and out sometimes. So obviously it's just Jen and I on the girls' side. So we'll jump in, and if we're by ourselves, we'll, you know, lead reps each, or like I'll take the first bit and then Jen sometimes comes around. And but then recently this year we've had a lovely pacer, Luke Fanges, has moved back to Brisbane and was able to jump in and help us for like probably a solid 3 months leading into both of us traveling overseas, which was incredible. Like, very, very fortunate to have him. Definitely took a lot of the pressure off us trying to hit reps. But yeah, there's definitely like been a lot of growth in that side of things. I think there was like one particular session where we had, I think it was like either mile reps and then some really hard 600s mile rep and then some 400s. And I remember like I was able to sort of stick on the back and hold on the whole session, which a lot of the time I have to jump in and out or like take a bit longer rest here and there, or slow my times. But I was able to hit like the whole session like perfectly. And like that was a moment where I was like, wow, okay, yep, like finally sort of getting there, stepping up, getting a lot fitter and able to handle sort of some higher paces and pace changes and stuff.
Yeah, excellent. And away from that particular, like, specific training for the steeplechase, any, have you PB'd other events too in the last sort of year that, or done any testing, even like VO2 max testing, lactate stuff, or anything else a little bit different or alternative that has made you think about how fit you actually are?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny with running. Like, it seems like such a simple sport, but there's so many elements to it. So, and you try and squish everything in like as quickly as you can. But I have PB'd over the 3K this year. So I ran 9 minutes 00, which was a bit of a bummer not to crack the 9 minutes, but it was a pretty solid PB. And I also ran a PB in the 5K back in February at the Moree Plant meet. I ran 15:44, which I was also pretty happy with. I'd run a steeple like 5 days earlier, so it was a bit of a tough turnaround, so I was pretty happy with that. Would have loved the chance to run a 1500, but didn't quite fit that in this year. But I've also done some VO2 testing, so I sort of do like one a year. I did one sort of last year, I think post-nationals, and then this year I did it, I think maybe in December or January. And I had improved quite a lot on that test, which was great to see. I think it had jumped up 2 or 3 like points or whatever it works off. So that was a good sign that, yeah, things had moved in a good direction overall. But yeah, we don't do a whole lot of VO2 just for the sake of like, it's quite an intense test.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely takes it out of you, and mentally too it kind of like takes a bit to get your head around. But yeah.
Yeah, and the next 8 days now, so leading into the event, what's it going to look like training wise and also I thought too, just a couple of hours ago, of a question I think would be pertinent to Cara, is like the mental side, because this is the Olympics, this is a different event, and a lot of athletes, I guess, treat it not as different, to not as get hyped up. Have you thought about any mental things too, along with the training that's going to lead into the event?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it's very true. I think treating it as much like not a big event is sort of the most important thing. And from a sports sort of psychology point of view, they actually, like Athletics Australia, brought us here to Montpellier last year before we went to the World Champs in Budapest. And I think that was very intentional, to feel like we came back this year and it's like we're just doing the same thing. Like it might be the Olympics, but we're just preparing for the same kind of big event. Like we all ran on, a lot of us, a lot of people were here last year. You know, we ran on the world stage last year, and it will be a lot of the same people again this year. Like it's the same kind of setup. So other than obviously, yeah, getting into the village and that, all of that's going to be way bigger, but the actual race itself and the preparation is really as similar as you can keep it to what you do for other races. And I think, like, naturally we're all so competitive that we will lift, because it is, like, we know how important it is and how exciting it is. But day to day, just trying to keep it as similar as possible to how we'd prepare for any race is pretty key. Yeah.
Yeah, and the week before an event too, like most runners will do some kind of session early in the week. What's that session going to look like?
Yeah, so probably the one I did today was like my last solid session. So today I did like mile build just on the flat, on the track, and then sort of a broken 2K to start. So I did all over hurdles, 400 metres with little walk jog, 50 metres up back, and then an 800 metres over hurdles, slightly slower, and then another 400, little rest, 200, 200 to finish off, getting a little bit faster. So that was really solid. And then about 5 minutes rest, and then came back and did another 800, 400 over hurdles, and then a flat 400. And I finished in a 64. So that was actually pretty fast for me. I don't often get the legs turning over much quicker than that anymore. So that was really, really positive. And I think now I'll do a bit of a long run tomorrow, just like slightly shorter, and then travel to the village Monday, and Tuesday I'll do like a slight top up with some fours and twos, but nothing really too big now. Yeah.
Yeah. Just on that shorter stuff too, Cara, like how short have you gone in the training in terms of the rep lengths, and on the other side too, like how long? I sort of noticed in the last few years you've been doing the sort of 20 to 25K top sort of long run. Is that sort of been staple as well on the weekend?
Yeah. I find my sweet spot is sort of between an hour 30, hour 45 for long run. So I kind of just fluctuate in that area depending on sort of how I'm going. I normally pick something that just seems good at the time, or seems like it fits with my week, and just stick with that for a little while. Obviously, like, usually go a bit longer, sort of December, January, and then, you know, that'll be my hour 45s, and then I'll get closer to an hour 30 as the season goes on. But yeah, then I like my mileage has been pretty good this year. Like, I still think there's probably room for improvement, but I've been sort of averaging 100 to 120 depending on like the time of year, with a couple slightly longer weeks, but they're pretty occasional. But yeah, I do, Tuesdays are like sort of our longer track days, where we'll do probably the short, like we sometimes do 300s, but they'll be off like 100 jogs. So like I'd say our average rep length is like that 400 to 600 kind of range. And then we'll often top up with a bit of like a 1200 or a 1600, which is more at that like 5K kind of pace. So we definitely jump around quite a lot between sort of that 3K, 5K pace. In those sessions, it's like a bit of a fartlek almost. And then Thursdays, I'll always do threshold. So usually like 3 by 10 minutes, or 4 by like 2K kind of range. And depending on like how I'm going and like the race point of view, like sometimes we'll build into it, or like kind of have a faster one in the middle and then more of like a slower tempo at the end. So it kind of like, we don't just go like same pace the whole time. We kind of break it up a little bit, which is nice, with like a 400 jog in between. And then Saturdays recently has been more my sort of steeple day. So I was doing a lot of steeple sessions that day with the hurdles. When I was away in Hoyos on training camp, we would do like hills on a Saturday, just because we'd only go to the track once a week. But when I'm at home, it's more track sort of steeple work. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Let's get to the race itself then, because is it just a heat then final, by the way, for the steeplechase?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so have you looked into, your time versus the rest of the ladies in the race, and any strategy around how you're gonna you run it. It's so unpredictable, the Olympics, isn't it? And often it can go out quite slow. Have we prepared for, you know, some kind of kick required at the end of the race?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we've been trying to work on is, you know, having that base fitness and then just topping up with speed for the kick down that will inevitably come. So last year we got a really good insight. They changed the progression rules in all the distance events, and for the steeple, they got rid of the little queue for qualifying. So you now only qualify on auto queue, which like the big queue, which means you have to place top five in your event. On your heat, sorry. So for the steeple, we have 36 in the total, you know, quota that come into the Olympics. So we do three heats of 12 and top five get through to the final automatic. And there's no like time after that. So that was definitely like a big shift, because in the past it used to be top three auto and then they'd take like the next five or six fastest times. So there was some benefit to being a bit more aggressive, or, you know, if you had a faster PB, you might still get through just because you can run faster. But yeah, so last year in Budapest, I sort of went in not ranked the best on, you know, PB or anything, but in my heat, I was kind of like worked my way through the field, and coming into the last lap I was actually in sixth position, sort of like, and I had fifth in sight, and I did have a good crack at sort of like getting towards her, and but by sort of 200 to go I realized I wasn't quite gonna get her, and in the end I did get kicked down on the line and got seventh in my heat. But you know, like, I was pretty close to getting that top five. So from that point, you know, it's been pretty clear in my head that once you get in the heat, like, anything can happen. Like, everyone comes into the Olympics differently. Like, some people are obviously going to be at their peak performance, but for some people, like, it has been a long season, and qualifying can be quite a challenge for some athletes, like the pressure of getting to the Olympics. So just because, like PB versus season best is always, there's always so many numbers when you get your heat sheet, like, they'll have PB and season best. And for a lot of people, like, their season best won't be their PB, like it'll be quite significantly less. Or like, I know a lot of athletes actually in the steeple that ran their PB in the final of world champs last year and then haven't gone near it this year. So it's like, you can't quite tell what form anyone's in at the moment. Like, there's a few standouts, obviously, like the top few, you know, but then from there, it kind of like, it is a bit open. So it's like, you just got to race aggressive and just have a crack at top five.
Yeah, it's so complex, isn't it? So sort of just racing to what's in front of you. But yeah, do you sort of have like an A, B, C goal? Like, it's something you're content with and something that you're really hoping for?
Yeah. I mean, I think similar to last year, like, the A goal is to run a PB. Like, that's, you know, I'll be really happy with a PB. I think these kind of races are where it happens, because you're amongst the best, and you're obviously prepped for it. You've peaked. Like, this is the part of the season we all peak for. And then obviously, like, pretty close to that would be also making the final. Depending on, I guess, how big of a PB I run. If I missed out on the final, I'd be still pretty happy. But making the final is definitely a really big goal for me this year, because I do think it's something that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And what is inspiring you most, Cara, to achieve that goal? Is it you intrinsically, or anything outside of that?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of intrinsic motivation. I mean, I'm getting to the point, like, 25, like, I'd love to continue running more, like, through to the next Olympics. And so I guess I always get motivation to, like, keep having good performances, so I keep getting these opportunities to compete for Australia, and also just, you know, get to be an athlete for a bit longer. It's a pretty cool, you know, life experience to have. But also, like, I love trying to find where my best is, and, you know, keep pushing my physical ability and seeing what I can produce. I think, like, if you've got the opportunity, why not take it? It's definitely not something everyone gets to do, and it is a privilege as well. So yeah, definitely just seeing what is possible and just leaving no stone unturned, really.
Yeah, well, I look forward to it, and so does the nation, so to speak, too, Cara. It's going to be exciting. Just to get away from you for a minute or so, maybe even longer, if you have some time, just to think about those around you, particularly like someone like Jen Gregson in the marathon. Who are you looking forward to seeing on the Australian team compete? Not just in athletics too, but also like or in the Olympics in general. What are you looking forward to in terms of events?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've got to kind of tune in a bit more to what's going on in the larger context. I think sometimes I do get a bit wrapped up in just the athletics and obviously knowing so many of the personalities. So I think in the athletics, like, there's some really exciting events that are going to be happening, but definitely the marathon is a big one. The women's 5K, like, I've done a lot of training with Rose Davies and Izzy Bat Doyle, and they run, I think, 2 days before or the day before me. So I'd love to see them make the final. I think they're definitely capable of it. And I think the men's and women's 1500 as well is another big one. And you've got Jess Hull, and
Oh, yeah.
Georgia Griffith is just running the house down at the moment too. So I think they could produce something really exciting.
Yeah, and Faith Kipyegon too out there. She's in three events, isn't she?
I think Faith's just maybe the 15, and then it's Stefan Hassan's doing the 15, 5,
And
10, and
10.
marathon.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah,
Four.
mix them up. That's
Yeah.
nuts, isn't it? Crazy.
Crazy.
Might be you one day get going 3,000 now and maybe follow Jen's footsteps to the marathon.
Look, a lot of steeplers do go to marathon, so you never know. But for now, I do still enjoy the track. Like, gosh, some of their long runs, I'm like, oh, how do you do that? It seems crazy. It's a lot of time running. But
Yeah,
yeah,
yep.
a lot of sports. I mean, I'm excited to tune into the swimming. I feel like I always love watching the swimming and some of the team sports. Like, water polo is always a good one. Rugby sevens, like. I think, yeah, Australia's got such a strong team across the board. It's just, yeah, exciting.
Yeah, and have you got any mates or contacts out of athletics too in that realm or not?
Not particularly, to be honest. Like, I mean, I go to University of Queensland, and there's quite a few athletes there in other sports that I've met over the years. But they're more just like people that, like, I go and I support but don't know personally. Yeah, it's really just athletics. Very entrenched in the athletics world, really.
Well, thanks for your time tonight. Hey, you've been on here three times, and the first time you're on here is actually one of the most listened to episodes. I'm sure the listeners will be excited to hear from you straight from the Olympics, and we wish you the best of luck in 8 days, and hopefully you can get through to that final, Cara. Thanks so much, hey.
Thanks so much. Lovely to chat. Yeah.
Always welcome. Have a great day. I was about to say have a great night, but have a great day, and we'll be in touch. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legend in Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you.